Welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. This is lecture number 17 in our verse by verse study through the book of Genesis. We come today to Genesis chapter 18, verse 20. And Father, we ask that you would add your blessings to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. No introduction. We'll just pick up right where we left off last time. In Genesis chapter 18, verse 20. And it says, And the Lord said, Because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grave. And evidently, there were those who were praying to God about the evil that was going on in Sodom and Gomorrah. God is telling Abraham that he's been hearing a lot of bad about those cities. 21. God says, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry against it that has come to me. And if not, I will know. And of course, God knows everything about everything all the time. He did not have to come to earth in the form of a man to see with his own eyes the evil in Sodom. But God wants us to know that when it comes to punishing sinners, he isn't driven by hearsay or by the heat of emotion. He is a fair God, and he judges on the basis of facts. And that is what he wants us to see here. 22. Then the men turned away from there and went towards Sodom. But Abraham still stood before the Lord. And Abraham came near and said, Would you also destroy the righteous with the wicked? First, Abraham is on a spiritual high because he and his wife have been told by God himself that their dream of having a child is about to come true. Then God says that he's headed for Sodom. And if it's as bad as he has heard, it's going to be judgment time. Well, Abraham knew that it was bad there, and Abraham knew that sinners had to be punished. But he wonders if God will wipe out everyone. And of course, he is thinking about his nephew Lot. 24. Suppose there are 50 righteous within the city. Would you also destroy the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous that were in it? Notice that he isn't just asking God to spare the righteous in that place. He is asking if God will spare even the wicked if he can find 50 righteous. 25. Far be it from you to do such a thing as this, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous should be as the wicked. Far be it from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? You can always count on God to do the right thing, no matter what. Verse 26. So the Lord said, If I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. It is a good thing that Abraham knew God's character. It is a good thing he knew what God was like. He knew God was merciful, so he prayed for a merciful thing. And God said yes. Verse 27. Then Abraham answered and said, Indeed, now, I who am but dust and ashes, have taken it upon myself to speak to the Lord. You know, there's such a man-centered focus, such a man-centered theology, and so many evangelical churches today, that if you would say what Abraham said in one of those places about us being just dust and ashes, they'd want to put you in counseling to improve your self-esteem. The fact is, humanity that realizes that God is everything, I should say, the fact is that a humility that realizes that God is everything and we are just dust and ashes, just unworthy. That is one of the most basic components of holiness. If you're not humble, then you're not approaching God with the proper attitude. The attitude that you're dust and ashes, and so am I. That's it. 28. Suppose there were 5 less than 50 righteous. Would you destroy all the city for lack of 5? So he said, if I find 45, I will not destroy it. Notice the spin that Abraham is putting on this thing. God, you wouldn't destroy the whole city because 5 good people are lacking, would you? Like only 5 bad people are the issue. He's saying, you wouldn't destroy the whole works because there are 5 bad people, would you? And God could have said, well, the problem isn't that 5 good people are lacking. The real problem is that out of the entire population, there aren't even 5 who are good. But God goes along and says, I will spare the whole works if I find 45 good ones. How gracious he is. 29. And he spoke to him yet again and said, suppose there should be 40 found there. So he said, I will not do it for the sake of 40. God has been gracious so far. Consequently, Abraham asked for more. Verse 30. Then he said, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Suppose 30 should be found there. So he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. Oh, Abraham is starting to wonder if he's pushing God too far here. He doesn't want God to think that he's taking advantage of his goodness, even though that, of course, is exactly what he is doing. And by the way, the only hope that any of us has is to take advantage of God's goodness. Verse 31. And he said, indeed now, I have taken it upon myself to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20 should be found there. So he said, I will not destroy it for the sake of 20. God, if there are only 20 good people there, would you destroy it or would you spare it? Would you say, that's not enough good people to make it worth keeping, or would you spare it? God says, I will spare it for 20. 32, then he said, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak but once more. Suppose 10 should be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for the sake of 10. Abraham must be thinking, I got it down to 10. I think that is low enough. After all, he knew there was Lot, his wife, 4 daughters, 2 husbands. That makes 8 right there. Surely, Lot had made at least 2 converts to the one true God in all the years that he was there. So Abraham is thinking, yeah, I think everything's okay. 33. So the Lord went his way as soon as he had finished speaking with Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place. He did all that he could do. Now everything depends on if there are 10 good people in Sodom. Chapter 19, verse 1. Now the 2 angels came to Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. When Lot saw them, he rose to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. Lot had made it big in Sodom. Know that because it says that he was sitting in the gate. And those seats were for public officials and important businessmen. Lot chose the area of Sodom because he had dreams of wealth. I guess he reached those goals. Verse 2. And he said, hear now, my lords, please turn into your servant's house and spend the night and wash your feet. Then you may rise early and go on your way. And he said, no, but we will spend the night in the open square. These angels did not come to Sodom to visit Lot. They came to investigate the city. That's why they wanted to spend the night in the streets. They want their investigation to be thorough. Then if things are as sinful as the reports indicate, they would know. Verse 3. But he insisted strongly. So they turned into him and entered his house. Lot knew that no one in their right mind would spend the night on the streets of Sodom. Consequently, he talks these two men into staying overnight at his place. The last part of verse 3. Then he made them a feast and baked unleavened bread, and they ate. And my question is, where's Lot's wife, I wonder? When these men visited Abraham, Sarah is the one who made them something to eat. Here, Lot does it himself. Whether Lot's wife didn't care or was out doing something else really isn't the issue. The issue is the correct thing needed to be done, and Lot did it, even though it wouldn't be considered his job. Verse 4. Now before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, both old and young, all the people from every quarter surrounded the house. Boy, throw a bloody side of beef over a boat into the ocean and watch the sharks gather around. And these homosexuals find out that there's fresh meat over at Lot's house. So they surround the place like a bunch of hungry sharks. 5. And they called to Lot and said to him, "Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us that we may know them carnally." Notice that this isn't a request. It is a demand. They demand to commit their vile sin with the two visitors. Sinning in secret is bad, but this kind of in your face, we demand our right to sin, that we demand that you acknowledge that it's okay, boy, that indicates a very hard heart. 6. So Lot went out to them through the doorway, shut the door behind him, and said, "Please, my brethren, do not do so wickedly." Well, that's sort of like a big juicy mouse trying to convince a room full of hungry cats that they should leave peaceably, and they should leave hungry. Lot is showing some courage here, but don't be too impressed, because look at verse 8. "See now," Lot says, "I have two daughters who have not known a man. Please let me bring them out to you, and you may do to them as you wish. Only do nothing to these men, since this is the reason they have come under the shadow of my roof. I don't care how important it was in that culture to protect your house guests from harm." This isn't a question of culture. It is a question of right and wrong. Lot has spent too much time in Sodom, and so now there's too much Sodom inside of Lot. Verse 9. And they said, "Stand back." Then they said, "This one came in to stay here, and he keeps acting as a judge. Now we will deal worse with you than with them." So they pressed hard against the man Lot and came near to break down the door. Back in verse 7, Lot referred to their homosexual intentions as being wicked. Well, they didn't like that. They accused Lot of being judgmental. Today, Lot would be called homophobic. He'd be called intolerant. He'd even be called a bigot. All because he said what God said about homosexuality. Verse 10. But the men reached out their hands and pulled Lot into the house with them and shut the door. Lot wasn't getting anywhere with these sinners. So the angels grab him and pull him into the house. Angels do that sort of thing for Christians today also, you know. You won't know until eternity how many times your guardian angel snatched you out of danger. Verse 11, and they struck the men who were at the doorway of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they became weary trying to find the door. I'm not amazed that they attacked Lot, who called their sin wicked. I'm not amazed that God struck them with blindness. What amazes me is that their blindness didn't seem to cause them to repent. Because it doesn't say they wearied themselves trying to repent. It says they wearied themselves trying to find the door. You know, the more someone tolerates sin, the harder their heart becomes until they get to the place where not even the wrath of God can wake them up and cause them to repent. And we're going to stop right here for today. We'll pick up our study in verse 12 next time. Until then, so long, everyone.